My name is Donna Hamill. I am interviewing Sister Diane Bardal, the principal of St. Mary's Catholic School in Kodiak, Alaska. Today is April 9th, 1996. Sister Diane, could you give me a little personal background, such as where you were born and where you were before coming to Kodiak?
I sure could. I'll tell you where I was born. I won't tell you when.
Okay.
I was born in Buffalo, New York. And I entered the Grey Nuns of the Sacred Heart, Mother House being in a town outside of Philadelphia. After I finished the novitiate, I began teaching in New York, Long Island, New York. From there I went to Philadelphia, and from Philadelphia I went to Atlanta, and from Atlanta I went back to Philadelphia, but to a different school. From Philadelphia, I went to a small coal mining town in eastern Pennsylvania called Mahanoy City.
Oh.
And after that, I came up here in 1970.
So, except for the one place, pretty much big cities before you came to Kodiak. When did you come to Kodiak, and what were the circumstances that caused you to come?
I came to Kodiak in 1970. Kodiak, as Lima, Peru, are two distant missions, were always volunteer places. And I always volunteered. I'm a volunteer by nature. I volunteered for as many years as I could. I volunteered in 1970 also, but oddly enough, I forgot to mail my volunteer paper in. And wouldn't you know, that was the year I got a phone call from the Mother House asking me if I would mind going to Kodiak. So I said, certainly not. I volunteered. And our superior general said, well, I don't have your paper. And I said, oh, I forgot to mail it in. That's why you don't have it. So because I hadn't mailed it in, she said she would have to wait a certain period of time and give me that opportunity to rethink. And she would call me back. So she did. And I said, oh, of course I want to go to Kodiak. So that's how I got here and when I got here.
So you did volunteer to come?
Yes, I did.
And can you give me any background on the Grey Nuns of the Sacred Heart? For instance, I had heard that when they originally came to Kodiak, it was a nursing duty. But when you came, it was totally for teaching. Is that correct?
Not exactly. When our sisters came in 1944, and of course, it wasn't a state yet. It wasn't even a town. It was just a little fishing village and a military base. And it took them a long time to get here from Philadelphia because wartime travel was very difficult. And when they came, their duty was to take over the hospital. And they did. From 1944 until 1954, we only had sisters doing hospital work here. But actually, Sister Hillary, who was the business administrator of the hospital, also worked with Frosty Johnson to establish the public library in town. She also helped Ben Kraft get his business going in downtown Kodiak. So our real mission really was the hospital. Our real work was the hospital, but sisters, being curious people, go out and do other things in addition to that. Then 10 years later, 1954, Sister Hillary, along with the pastor, started a school. It began with three grades, first, second, and third. And Sister Hillary had the first and second grade, and Father Talbot had the third grade. And each year, they added one more class. Eventually, Father Talbot just dropped out of the picture, and sisters came up to continue taking over the school. And at that point, it was downtown, all over the place downtown. And it remained there until 1968. When it moved up to its present location.
So the nuns, the Grey Nuns of the Sacred Heart, you said they came here in 1944. Was the church already here, or did they?
No, the church wasn't here.
Was there any Catholic church here at that time?
No, there were chaplains from the military branches that served here. But the priest would fly in, apparently, from my best recollection, the priest would fly in from Anchorage periodically. But when the sisters came, that was the time that the parish then was established.
Okay, so they really helped establish the parish, yes, more than a priest coming in and establishing
it. Yes, oh, probably happened simultaneously, the need plus the sisters, but the sisters' arrival, I think, created the need for the parish then.
When you first came to Kodiak, what were some of your first impressions when you got off the airplane?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I came from Philadelphia in August. Actually, it was August 25th, 1970. And if you know Philadelphia, it's hot, muggy. It's very uncomfortable at that point, at that time in Philadelphia. So I flew into Kodiak. And there was a contingency there to meet me, as I flew in with two other sisters. And they were all exclaiming, "You had such a wonderful day to arrive in Kodiak." And the sun was shining. So I'm thinking, well, I just love Philadelphia, you know, and it was hot and sticky and the sun was shining. I really did not get the full impact of their statement until the next day, when it started to rain. And it continued to rain for about 3 weeks. Well, then I began to realize why everyone said, "Wow, what a great day you have for flying in." But my recollection, or my very vivid remembrance of coming to Kodiak, was it was like walking through the National Geographic magazine. It was an awesome experience, and one that I just never could outgrow. I would walk out of the house every day and come over to school, and walk through the woods and look at the mountains across the road, and go for just a very short drive or a walk, and you'd see the water, and it was just as if I were living in a place that was strictly National Geographic material. Awesome.
Now, where we are now at St. Mary's School, when you came in 1970, the church and school were here, correct?
Yes, but not our present church. Our present church was just built in 1990, I believe.
Okay, but the St. Mary's church, mm-hmm, and school were right, mm-hmm, where they are now.
Yes.
And what else was around here then? Was there a lot of homes?
Oh, no. The land behind us belonged to the Archdiocese. And so that was woods. In fact, we used to go out there and pick blueberries in the spring, and then get bear bread off the fallen trees in the fall and in the winter. And it's just an utterly wonderful place to walk. There were trails in the woods. So it was definitely not city at all. Mm-hmm. It was barely town.
Why do you think that they put the church and school out here, moved it from downtown?
Yeah,
do you have any idea?
Yes, because it moved from downtown out here after the tidal wave. Urban Renewal said we had to move because they had to redo downtown. And so we moved from its original location up Mill Bay Road because it was obvious that eventually the population would move out in this direction because, well, really there was no other place for it to go. So we moved up on Mill Bay. Actually, they were originally thinking of having the church where Spinard's is presently. That was church property. And they decided, I don't know why, but anyway, they moved up the road just a little farther to where we are now.
Sister, what are some of the biggest changes in Kodiak in the 26 years that you've been here?
Well, one of the biggest changes, one of the earlier ones, I guess, would be the post office moving or getting a new building. Originally, it was downtown in the Donnelly Building, where Canna is now, and you just went down there and met everybody, talked to everybody. You know, there was no such thing as home delivery. It was the place to gather. Then paved roads, that was a big change, a very good change. course, Safeway, which is rather recent development. Let me see. Different roads, all the different roads that were paved, or not paved, but all the different roads that were created. If you go down Rezanov, now it is absolutely nothing like it used to be. It's so hard even to envision what it was like. You go Mill Bay Road across to Woodland Acres, and somehow through shortly into Woodland Acres, you made the road curved to the left and you went out towards Mill Bay and Monashka. But it's totally different from what it is now. So the road systems, all the new roads, make it look really different.
Do you think that there's any big changes that you've noticed in what people do in Kodiak now? I mean, just for, not occupations so much as just people, what they do?
Well, I don't know. Let's see. This is not directly your question, but one other thing that just came to my mind is, when I first came, if we had four cars in a row, you'd say, whoa, where is everybody going? That was a traffic jam. Now it's a little different. Take just a little while to get out of our driveway now, where it took no time at all. Different things that people do. I think there's more traveling. It would not be unusual for children never to have gotten off the island when I first came. They could go through their whole elementary school years and never leave the island. This is obviously very different. People are still outdoorsy, I think. If you don't like the outdoors, this is definitely not a place to be.
Is there any events from 70 to 96 that you think have changed Kodiak? You know, you said it's grown so much and so much more traffic and things. Do you think one event, or what do you think was the cause of a lot of the changes?
Well, when I first came to Kodiak, the one thing that was so remarkable to me was the children's ability to stand in awe of nature. They knew how to protect things. They were just absolutely thrilled when they saw the first dandelion appear in the spring. Nobody could walk on it. Nobody could walk on any of the wildflowers. These were sacred to them. We would stop class in the middle of class and would look out the window. If the classroom was on the playground side, they would look out and say, look at the sunrise. If they were on the front side of the building, they would look out at the same time and look at the glow of the sunrise on the snow-covered mountains in the winter. And everything would stop. They would... Well, we looked out the window in silent awe of the beauty. I noticed a gradual change. And it was gradual. Children no longer noticed it themselves. I would have to point it out, and it would be with difficulty to rev up their awe and wonder at it. They no longer were so careful about stepping in little flowers. And by the time I put all of that together, and I tried to put it into a picture, into a time frame, the best I could come up with was the advent of television. When we had more television available to us, we had less sensitivity to the beauty of nature.
See that with the kids' interest nowadays.
Yes.
Did you ever do any work in any other areas in Alaska except around Kodiak Island?
Well, for years, the sisters used to go out to ADAC and do summer religion classes for 2 weeks. So I went out probably about 18 years. And each time we would rarely go alone, though I did go alone once or twice. But we usually went two or three. It just depended on how many that the Navy wanted to come out. Now, we worked with the children. I frequently worked with the children in the daytime and then had adult classes in the evening. And I prepared the religion teachers so that they could carry on the teaching during the school year themselves. And then I would come out in the summertime to field any questions or to retrain new ones or to do further in-services for them, as well as teach the children. It was a wonderful experience, really different because of the remoteness of ADAC and it being just a military base, and we would have to receive military orders in order to go onto the island, in order to deplane when we got there. It was all very formal and foreign, actually, to most of my other kind of lifestyle, but very interesting. We developed lots of good friendships. And keep in touch frequently. Well, for years we kept in touch with our friends out there. We went, I think our last trip to ADAC was in 86, maybe.
Well, how is ADAC different than Kodiak? I mean, how's it, the way it looks?
Oh, it's almost totally treeless. They've got one very small area that's called the ADAC National Forest. There's a big sign that says, you are now entering and leaving ADAC National Forest. The trees are stunted, they're very short because of the wind. And the total area of the National Forest, so to speak, would fit into this office, which is, what would you say this was, about 8 by 12 or 15, somewhere around there. So, very small. And apart from that, there are no other trees. It's tundra, lots of wildflowers, gently rolling hills. Quite beautiful. Has its own, beauty.
You've been teaching the entire time that you've been at St. Mary's.
Yes.
Okay. How long did you teach?
Before I came?
No, before you became the principal.
Oh, I was teaching, I think 2 years.
That's all?
Well, I was principal before I came up here. I was principal in the school in that in Mahanoy City before I came up. And when I came here, I came as a first and second grade teacher because at that time we had just four classrooms and each classroom had two grades in it. So I had the first and second grade. The next year, I had the seventh and eighth grade, but we did team teaching or departmental teaching. So I had seventh and eighth grade homeroom, but I taught fifth and sixth grade social studies and language arts, while the homeroom teacher of the fifth and sixth grade did the math and science of both of those classrooms.
So then, after you became principal, did you still teach some principal at the same time?
Yes. I taught full-time teaching, actually, for I don't really remember how many years, and it's probably just as well I don't. I had full-time load as well as being principal. Then I went to a half-time, and then I dropped back to just being religion teachers in classes that needed me, and doing French throughout the grades. Then, a few years ago, Prue Finn said she would be glad to teach half of the French. Well, actually, Rita Stevens taught the lower grades French. She relieved me of half my French classes. And then Prue said she would take half, the half that Rita had, and then she found out it wasn't so difficult, so she said she would be glad to take all of it. Well, at that point, I became just a principal, a non-teaching principal.
And what would you say are a couple of your major goals as principal of St. Mary's School?
Throughout the years, it has been to maintain a family spirit, a welcoming atmosphere, that gave the signs to people that everyone was welcome, that this was not a school for the elite, that we would do anything and everything to make their children feel happy and warm, fuzzies inside, and welcome. So we do a lot of loving, as you know. They get hugged coming in, they get hugged going out. It's part of a long, long tradition, and it has always been my goal never to change that part. But it has also been my goal to keep our curriculum current and as competitive as possible, because I think that's a matter of justice for our families.
I know the number of children attending the school has grown over the years. Can you tell me about how many students were here in 1970 and how many there are now?
Yes. There were somewhere in the 90s in 1970, maybe like 97, 98, upper 90s. Today we have about 208, I believe.
What do you think is the reason for the more than doubling?
Well, actually, in 1989, we put in the preschool kindergarten. And we knew when we did that, we would have to eliminate the double grades, because the full kindergarten would move up to a full single first grade and wouldn't allow for doubles. So then we began planning before we allowed the kindergarten to happen, we had to take a look at our ability to add on classrooms. So that being possible, we went with kindergarten and the preschool, and then gradually went to single grades each year. And that's what filled the classrooms, the kindergarten moving, the full kindergarten moving into the first grade.
So before you reorganized like that, you really had more people wanting, more children wanting to come here than could come here, and then you were able to reorganize and accept more?
There were so many people that kept begging us to have kindergarten. And we said, well, we can have kindergarten, but we'll have to eliminate 7th and 8th grade. And they said, well, no, we want both. But it's simply not possible. So when the numbers in 7th and 8th grade never equaled or came close to the numbers in all the other grades. So we decided we could really ought to take a look at that and do a feasibility study to see financially could we continue to service such a few number of 7th and 8th graders. So we decided in 1988, that the following year, after having studied it for several years, that in 1989 we would eliminate 7th and 8th grade, put in kindergarten, and we gave parents fair warning, because the numbers just weren't in that grade those two grade levels, and they hadn't been for at least 5 years, had been increasing at all. So we did that, and several years, when was it? I lost track of the timing. A few years later, the parents said, now, since you've added on those four classrooms, which we did in 1991, we added those on, how about putting 7th and 8th grade back in? So we said, well, we'll try it. We'll give it a try and see how it fares. So we did. We let the 6th grade move into 7th grade, and then 8th grade last year. So that was last year's 8th grade was the first graduating class of the second portion of our experiment here, I guess you want to call it that.
Do you think that the goals of St. Mary's Church and the school have changed much in the time that you have been here?
No, I don't think so. Not really. The goals haven't changed. Perhaps the population has somewhat changed. We've always had a large Filipino population in our parish. And now that the parish has grown to with a rather sizable Latino population, and so when you come to Mass on any given Sunday, you would not know exactly what country you're in, because we have some equal numbers of Asians and Latinos and Caucasians.
Are there any stories or memories of Kodiak from when you first arrived or recent that you'd like to share?
One memory I have is a field trip that the children took. And I don't really remember what year it was, but it was probably early 70s. There was a beached whale at Roslyn Beach. And it was a kind of an exciting event. So Jim Senior Eggemeyer, decided he would rent a bus for us. And we put as many children in the bus as we could, and I think that was probably first or fourth grade, and took them out the road, and they got a chance to see this beached whale, and not only see it, they actually stood on it from nose to tail. They stood along the on the whale, and actually what there was a photographer from, I don't know if it was Alaska Magazine or National Geographic or a popular magazine that was out and about and happened to see the whole thing, and they took the picture. And lo and behold, we found our children in this magazine.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Another thing that I can recall is, again, I don't remember the exact date, but in the 70s sometime, we had what was called, I believe, the Kodiak Regional Dorm. No, I think that's what it was. It was housing for students that came from the villages, and not just the villages on Kodiak. I know there were high school students, and these were high school students that came from the villages to go to school here in Kodiak. And for them, it was a big city life. These were students from Hooper Bay, Tuksuk Bay, and when they got to Kodiak, they were scared. They would just go into their bedrooms, at least this group of people, the group of students, and they were just too afraid to come out. Well, I found out that the children from these villages were mostly Catholic. So I used to go down and visit them and bring them up, and they would join our high school group, our CYO, Catholic Youth Organization, and I would take them out and bring them to the convent to visit. And their greatest joy was to get in the car, just to get in the car and go for a ride. So I would put them in the car and we'd go out the road just for a ride. And that was their greatest joy. When when the dorms closed because they had high schools in the villages, I continued to hear from a couple of them. They would call just out of the blue years after they were gone. They'd call and say, "Do you remember me? I used to go to the high school there and live in the dorm." It was just a wonderful experience, and I really miss them. But I know they're going to school in their own village is much more valuable to them.
Well, thank
you. When I first came in 1970, the Navy was on base, and their children came to our school, and Special Services supplied a bus and transported the children to and from school every single day. We had our own school bus for the rest, so that would tell you how small our numbers were. But in 1972, I believe, the Navy pulled out and the Coast Guard came in, and they continued their services for a short time, but really they didn't have the bus. The bus that the Navy used was not being kept up, so they didn't have that, and then we began to get public school busing.
Well, that's interesting about the change from Navy to Coast Guard.
And we went out to the base too to teach CCD, religion class, that is. So we were part of base life and part of town life.
both when it was Navy and Coast Guard?
And Coast Guard, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for your time, memories, and information, Sister. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the opportunity to recall fond memories.